Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we're blessed to stay alive in Torah Chaim, instructions of life. Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachem, instructions of mercies. You're now tuned into the higher inner frequency of Blog Talk Radio. We call ourselves Soul Class. This is Soul Class 605, Heart to Heart from Jerusalem to the rest of the world program, presentation number 60. Ruch Hashem, blessed is our Creator, Shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the human family experience. With Creator's help, we're now broadcasting live at 9:32 a.m., live from Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA Unifying Souls, actually, which corresponds to now 4:32 in the afternoon, holy Middle East, Jerusalem, Israel time. Our program content will focus on being in discussion with international human rights activist Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Goldstock. Our call-in number, if you want to chime in, is 347-838-8669. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. The tags for today's program are Eternal Creator, Divine Image, Universal Redemption. When you help a handy, capable human being, you are proving that you'll become more capable yourself. Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Goldstock in Heart to Heart Jerusalem. What you're listening to is a babbling brook emanating out of the babblings of the inner soul of the human family experience, which is craving for more kindness and decency and compassion for every human being, whether they be handy, capable, or so-called normal, whatever normal is supposed to be. In order to go on with today's program, we're going to have to turn down the music or the sounds of music of nature from the Most High. Okay. Now, usually, Rabbi Dr. Goldstock calls me from an international line, and we have a blessed caller in, and I don't know if this is, in fact, Rabbi Dr. Goldstock, but in a second I'm going to ask this caller to speak, and if Rabbi Goldstock doesn't call in, then in fact we're going to have to just try to wing it, as we usually will do in circumstances like this. Okay. And before we do that, I'm just checking something here to see where we are. Okay. So now let's go into the program and we'll even call in we'll see if this mystery caller will want to participate until Rabbi Goldstock comes on. Mystery caller from the middle of America, would you like to identify yourself?
Well, I'm not a Rabbi Yoni, but my name is Angela, and I'm calling from the great state of Oklahoma.
Wow, Oklahoma. That they made a play about that, right?
Yes, they did. Musical.
Okay. Ma'am, how did you hear about our program?
Well, honestly, I was just looking for something to listen to, and that caught my eye, and thinking about taking the lessons for converting, but my mother's family at one time was Jewish.
Okay, so we're gonna start today's program. We're still waiting for the good Rabbi Doctor to Cool. And I don't, if this is the first time you've come on this program, basically, let me explain to you, and for those who are also first-time listeners, this series of radio programs, this is the 605th presentation that I myself engineer and produce. I'm very humble for the humble means. It's called Soul Class.
Thank you.
Soul. Soul stands is an acronym, not just for soul as people understand soul music, or that person real soul. It's an acronym for S7O, oldest or original, U, universal, L, and laws, which refers to the seven original commandments that were given, some say, to original man Adam. He was given six distinct commandments, and there's a question if he was told not to eat the limb of an animal, but we know that he didn't eat meat. So that's one perspective. And for sure, Noah, if you understand or have read the biblical narrative of the Great Flood, which we of Israel believe literally happened. It wasn't an allegory. It wasn't a movie that was made 2 years ago, which came out against the biblical
tradition. I agree with you.
Okay, so you're with the congregation.
My grandmother had taught me some Hebrew as well.
Okay, so basically encompassing that type of perspective, we really can go into almost any subject matter that's fitting for human beings who want to have decent, pleasant, and peaceful conversations. And one of the conversations I think is peaceful and pleasant, but sometimes it might rock the boat of human family consciousness, is the idea that people who the world called handicapped, or say mentally delayed or emotionally delayed, are just as human as the rest of us who were not born with what the world would call a handicap or a disability. And Rabbi Goldstein has dedicated, hopefully he will be calling in, he has dedicated the last 50 years of his life, and with his wife for over 40 years, Chana Tova, in empowering families not to give up their, halachically, their Jewish law children, where they would wind up in environments where they would be exposed to other faiths or other religions, as they're called in the world, but rather that Rabbi Goldstock takes the lead and says, God doesn't make mistakes, which anyone who has faith in God, you let... that God doesn't make mistakes. And in fact, Rabbi Goldstock and Rebbetzin Goldstock or Mrs. Goldstock had a uniquely capable human being by the name of Sori, who was born, I believe, in 1991. And she was born with Down syndrome, which Rabbi Goldstock likes to call Up syndrome. And Rabbi Goldstock and his wife, Chana Tova, have moved to Jerusalem, where they've taken their international organization called Heart to Heart American. And basically, Rabbi Goldstock, who for whatever reason is being delayed, from sure good reasons, would come on the program, talk about matters relating to how do we sensitize other human beings to the uniqueness, not the disability, to emphasize what can we do to empower their lives. Now, one of the things that we talked about last week is that a question that the rabbi gets, and I also get feel these questions. I myself am not a rabbi. I'm what is known as a Torah activist, which is in Hebrew called Torah Askan, meaning I'm
really?
Engaged in. Right. I'm not a rabbi. I'm just a regular working.
No, the
person.
Torah activist. I love that term.
Yeah. Well, it was a term that was coined by the Lubavitcher Rebbe in a seminal work that he wrote in Hayom Yom, that he expected the Jewish people to be activists towards promoting Torah biblical values and, along with the rabbinical elucidations. So one of the questions that we're frequently asked is, you know, the nature of soul of a Jew and the nature of soul of a Ben Noah. Now, sometimes a Ben Noah is known as a Gentile, sometimes known as a non-Jew, but I myself have come to the realization in the last 7-8 years that, for instance, I wouldn't want to be called, if I was, say, amongst friends that were Christian, as their non-Christian friend. I'd rather be known as a Jewish friend or a friend who happens to be Jewish. And I have a Christian friend. I don't call him a non-Jew. I would call him actually a Ben Noach, a Ben Noah, or a Bas Noah if it's a she.
Okay.
Because from the Torah, just as we have a lineage which is written out in the oral, excuse me, the written tradition of the 12 tribes of Israel, all the human beings that we know of on this earth, according to the Torah biblical tradition, originate from 70 root families. So one of the things that I have encountered, especially with some of the more learned children of Noah, is that sometimes they feel slighted, saying, well, we don't have a lineage that is as distinguished as the Jewish people. But when you read the Bible and you really look what it says, what does it say when Noah and his three sons came out of the ark? God blessed Noah and his sons when they emerged from the ark. So everyone has a distinguished lineage of being blessed directly from God when
yes.
surviving the flood narrative, the flood instruction, the flood historical occurrence.
Unique talents.
Yes. So everyone has, and it's not befitting to the honor of Creator for people to walk around thinking they have less of a lineage. It's about what are you doing with your capabilities. Would you like to comment on that?
Well, I have a child that at one time was diagnosed with autism.
Uh-huh.
And I likened my child's recovery coming up and out of Egypt. You know, mm-hmm. there's, what is that name of it? It's a poetic book. Perhaps you can help me with this.
You have to tell me a little bit more. I'm not sure what you're holding in on.
It's a short book where a prophet was told to marry a definitely non-Jew, a hedonistic pagan.
That would be Hoshea. I think that would be the prophet
Hoshea.
Hoshea, as we would say in Hebrew.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for correcting me. And it says, I will whisper to her, I will seduce her, you know, talking about Israel, you know, and all this, that I will make her valley of anchor a door of hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I likened that to my child, you know,
mm-hmm.
from when her days of silence into her days of joy. You know, they said my child would never talk, and to my child can write a book at age 7.
Wow.
You know, my child was fully restored, just as Israel was fully restored.
Wow.
And my child, you know, her story is unique, but I do not believe is the only story like that. You know,
wow.
And, you know, it turns out we are Jewish. And my child has auditory processing disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that she can understand words, the written word, more so than most adults. At age 9, she was already at a college sophomore level in reading
language.
Wow. You know, and I was told not to expect much of her. So I think, when I think of how I wanted to reach my child, just to hear the words, I love you, or for her to understand the words, I love you. And I think of the one who is above us, you know, that creative entity. You know, I don't like to put labels, even the G level, the label on our creator.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted this so bad. How much more does he want to reach us? You know, that restoration. That restoration. Oh. I'm getting a little emotional.
No, that's okay.
You
know. Goldstein,
this is my commentary.
No problem. I'm sorry. You said your name is Angela?
Angela, means messenger.
Okay. I'd like you to. I'm going to bring in Rabbi Goldstein. He's calling in live from Jerusalem. If he hasn't heard your story, I'd like you to tell him the story right now. And
sure.
I'm sure you're going to blow his socks off. Eliezer, good morning. Or good afternoon.
Good morning. Good afternoon. How are you? I'm really sorry.
No
but
problem.
The phone system or the numbers that you gave me don't work anymore.
You're kidding me.
And yeah. Well, I wish it was.
It was
called in.
Yeah.
And I'm here.
Amen. Eliezer, you heard what you saw what I sent you last night, and again, I'm sorry about the call. I bought a brand new calling card for you to call. I check the amount of time available. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to have to call the company, ask them what's going on, if they give me numbers for you to call from Jerusalem and it's not working. But Eliezer, everything's
yeah.
a shkocha protest. I have a young, brave, righteous young woman on the telephone by the name of Angela. And, you know, I wanted to talk about your role as a Levi and how we should look at handicapped human beings as Kohanim. I'd like you to hear the story of Angela, and I want you to strap yourself to your seat, because when you hear this story, you might go right through the roof of your house. Angela, this is Rabbi Goldstein. Eliezer, please listen to her story. It is unbelievable.
I'm listening. Hi, Angela.
Hello. Good morning. Also, I think you can call into Blog Talk Radio through Skype, which might save you. I don't know if you can access that through where you're at, but it's a possibility. I have a child that was formerly diagnosed with autism who had had a vaccine reaction for which she was hospitalized for and almost died, which my child had had a genetic problem when it came to vaccines. And I was told my child would never talk, to not expect much of my child. Even the simple thing of jumping up and down on 2 feet, as children would do when they're excited. My children's muscles became floppy. And that simple thing was not possible for my child. In the book of Hosea, I do not know how to say it properly.
Okay, it's good. It's good. English is okay, too.
My grandmother had taught me Hebrew a little bit, and I found out we're Jewish through my mother's side, where Hosea had to marry this pagan woman, that the restoration of Israel, you know, where he said, I will seduce her, as in the days of Egypt, when she came up and through Egypt. I likened that to my child through her days of silence, and then she began to speak, and the restoration became complete, and she is fully taken off the autism spectrum. We're not just talking about a little bit of autism. We're talking about where she would bang her head against the wall. We had seizures. Someone had to be with her 24/7, to the point where she wrote her first book at age 7, where she spoke 5 years to the day that she was admitted to the hospital. She was formally taken off of the autism spectrum from her developmental pediatrician. You know, this was not something that she was gradually lost her capabilities. This was a true diagnosis. You know, I don't know where to go from. I was just flowing in the moments earlier. But I believe with the restoration of Israel, we can see this with our children also. You know, the restoration of Israel can be seen in the lives of people also. You know, I'm looking forward to learning more about the Jewish faith. That's my next step where I'm at.
What is your daughter's current diagnosis?
Oh, a neurotypical. She still has auditory processing disorder. And with that, she has a high reading comprehension. She more than excels at that. At 9, when she was tested, she had a reading comprehension of a college sophomore at 9.
Wow.
And she's soon to turn 13.
Mm-hmm.
Eliezer, Eliezer and Angela, we have a caller. It might be Shoshana or Yoni calling in from Pittsburgh. I just want to bring them in, and then I'll let the three of you and get. No, Angela. I want you to keep on talking, and I want the rabbi to speak to you. But I also would like, if it's Shoshana Mouse or Yoni Mouse, they can participate, and I'll be in the background lurking to pose a question or to take the conversation to the next level if we need to do that. Let's bring in our caller from Pittsburgh. Is that Shoshana?
Hi, it's me.
Hi, Shoshana. If you've been listening, I'm sure. First of all, it's wonderful to hear your voice again.
Nice to hear your voice.
Yes.
Rabbi knows why. can't talk much.
Okay.
Pertinent for the discussion today.
Okay, Angela and Rabbi, please continue.
No,
go ahead.
First of all, how are you? Shoshana.
Very question. Tov miot Torah.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear. Hi. So Angela, where do you live, by the way?
I live in Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Where?
Yes.
Which?
What was the last
Oklahoma
part?
Oklahoma City.
Tulsa.
Tulsa, I've been there a couple times, actually.
Well, we have a nice synagogue and temple and above.
Oh, I didn't even realize. Which temple do you belong to?
Well, I'm getting ready to take, quote-unquote, the lessons. I don't formally belong to any of them. And I'm deciding if I want to be conservative or... Yeah, I'm at that point. My mother's family used to be Jewish. And they came over to the States.
From where?
And, you know, I'm rediscovering my roots, I guess you could say.
Where did your parents come from?
My mother's side came from France a long time ago. They were painters. Yosef Israel is part of our family. He was a painter.
Uh-huh. And you've been... How long has your family been in America?
On that side? Oh, gosh. Before 1900?
Oh, you've been in America a long time.
Oh, on my father's side, back to the 1600s.
Wow.
Wow. And you've been unaffiliated with anything Jewish all this time?
Well, my grandmother knew Hebrew. I mean, a lot of things were hush-hush. My grandmother was also Native American, and that was hush-hush, too. Everything had to be clean before Friday. I thought this was normal. And all my life, everybody asked, you know, are you sure you're not Jewish? When my grandmother passed away, she had to be buried the next day. I thought this was normal. It's just, you know, just a lot of different things that are traditionally Jewish or in the culture Jewish, from what I understood later. I just thought they were normal. I mean, I can rattle off, like, Hinema Tov, and I may butcher it, forgive me. Hinema Tov, Umananim, Shadakim, Kamiyaha. I think that's the gathering of the brotherhood, or do not forsake the...
How good
this
and pleasant
is from childhood.
How good it is pleasant when brothers dwell as one, when there's unity amongst the Jewish people.
Yes. I mean, that was really important to my grandmother that I learned that.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah. A lot of explanations were not given. You know, that to my grandmother, it was really important to wear necklaces on the outside of your dress. You know, couldn't touch the skin. A lot of rules. A lot of rules. A lot of prune dishes. Diet was very important.
What is the... you lost me on that one.
Prune dishes?
No, the necklaces.
Well, for some reason... It had to be on the outside. No bracelets, no rings. You know, if you wanted to wear a necklace, it had to be on the outside of your dress. It could not touch your skin.
That sounds more like the Amish than it does Jewish.
Well, I'm just saying,
like
I just assumed that was a Jewish thing, you know, after I found out about that past.
I'm unfamiliar with such a
practice. That's not a Jewish thing at all.
Okay, I thought maybe it was an Orthodox thing.
No.
Well, see,
not
I learned something
close.
New.
Well, yeah, but what's interesting...
But we're not Amish, that I do know.
You should try to find...
You know, they came from France and the Netherlands, those two different areas. And there is a lot of Samuels, and they seem to skip a generation for some reason. I never understood that. And there was Well, you'd see the name Samuel, but it would skip a generation. Does that make sense? Like, usually you see senior, junior, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And when I would research the family, Samuel would skip a generation.
So there was no Samuel Junior or Samuel Senior, is what you're saying.
Right. I would see Samuel a lot, but it would just skip a generation. You know, that I saw, and, you know, different, like Israel.
Oh, wait, so how many, let me try to figure this out. How many Samuels were there in each generation?
Just one.
Oh.
Like
so
the first name. The first name.
Yeah, no, I understand. So, like, what other names were there?
Oh, that was the one that was the most frequent. That one was the most frequent that skipped a generation.
Samuel have
right
a brother
now,
or a sister?
Right now, I can't remember. I spent a lot more time on my father's family, to be honest. I remember being really stricken with the name Samuel a lot.
Right.
It was consistently always
What's
there.
What's your daughter's name?
Athena.
Adina?
Pardon me?
Athena. Athena.
That's a very Jewish name.
Is it
you know,
really?
That name means she like a it's an expression of refinement, like a she's a refined human being.
Athena.
Wow. I didn't know that. I just thought it was on medication, pain meds.
No, that's a very, very, I would say.
Because I
like
the name Sarah. I would try my older one. Her name's Ariel. And,
Ariel?
Mm-hmm.
That's also, that's Hebrew for lion.
Lion,
well,
yeah.
Oh,
we're just
boy.
Creative
okay.
people.
A lioness, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, lioness.
So you have Ariel, Athena, and Samuel. And your name is? Angela.
Angela.
Do you have a Hebrew name?
No. I mean, my father was an oil, and my grandmother really hid a lot of the ethnic things growing up in America.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
I don't know how to say things certain. Certain things.
No, just to say it.
Fear.
I just don't understand what it is you're saying. Your father well,
like,
was in
fear
what?
Would kept, fear kept her from telling the whole truth, you know. Like my mother's name was Jean and my aunt's name was Lois. You know, just American names. And does that make sense?
What were they afraid of?
A persecution, you know, when they came over. They had changed their name from, I forgot what it was, Israel's last name, and they changed it to, it was like some type of blacksmith name. They changed their last name when they came to America, this French name. I'm sorry, I took some medication. It affects my memory.
So you don't know what your original family name was?
Oh, no, I do. It was Israel's. Israel's, like Yosef Israel, you know, that last name Israel's. That was
That's
her.
Her last name was Israel. And the family name that you took on when you got to America, your father took on was, or your...
The family took on,
family?
It was this, it means blacksmith. It's French.
What is...
I'll think of it in a minute. It's just I'm having a brain thing right now. Mm-hmm. I take anti-seizure medication.
Take a deep breath.
No problem.
Do you ever, you just
no,
know
I'm
what it
to...
is and can't believe you don't remember it?
No, you're
yeah,
human.
Don't worry about it. It happens to me every day, all day. So, one question. What was your
LaForge,
last
LaForge,
name?
That's the name. They changed it to LaForge.
LaForge. From Israel
mm-hmm.
to LaForge. And what
mm-hmm.
was your name growing up?
I'd rather not say, if you don't mind. My mother's
oh,
from a
okay.
political family.
Oh, okay.
So, can I
So it was the family name was LaForge from
right.
Israel. That was your father's side.
No, mother's side. Mother's side.
That was your mother's side.
Mm-hmm.
Eliezer,
yes.
I just got a post from Shoshana. She would like to ask Angela a question, but she has to talk slowly for you understand why. Shoshana?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Talk about anti-seizure medicine. I had to go off mine, which is
oh.
why I'm like this. Yeah, I've got, have to have the brain surgery for the electrons. Mm-hmm.
Shoshana, I have to tell everybody why you're speaking slow. I have to tell them. It's because I don't understand it. Understand her when she talks fast. Go ahead.
Because
she's brilliant. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rhodes Scholar, to be exact. But
cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
But do you know me? Don said something about you mentioning me and my husband Yoni.
What?
Last word.
Okay. Don said something about you mentioning my husband Yoni and me. Do I know you?
I'm not aware that I mentioned you.
Yeah, at the beginning of the program, Angie, you mentioned this is not Yoni or Shoshana. I thought maybe you were friends.
No, I mean that was a pure coincidence.
Like, well,
there's no such thing. But okay.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Better watch out for her.
I guess I don't know what to say on that one.
Yeah. No, it's okay. I didn't hear
the beginning of the program.
Yeah, what we're asking.
Mm-hmm.
But, ladies, I just like to take a step to the side and just mention something that I wanted to bring into the discussion today, and we can recirculate back into this conversation. Eliezer, you know, Angela, you don't know. I mean, Shoshana knows that about 5 weeks ago I lost my father, and it's a time where, you know, there's a lot of reflection and contemplation about the person of life, the perfect one's being. And I become more of an observer as much as I become more of a talker, because I have to leave I leave congregational prayers now, something I never really expected to do until now it's occurred to me. And I noticed it was already the Jewish holidays of Passover, and I was watching intently how the Levites in our congregation washed the hands of the Kohanim to assist the Kohanim prepare themselves to bless the Jewish people, and really the whole world, because you can see videos on YouTube where you see during the Jewish holiday of Passover, during the mm-hmm. intermediate days, where thousands and thousands, I'm thinking, or hundreds if not a thousand or two Kohanim would bless like 50,000 Jews, and really it's blessings going to the whole world. And I was thinking about that idea of one human being empowering another. And Rabbi Goldstock himself is a Levite. And I was thinking about who does he help to bring blessings to the world? Handy, capable human beings who I kind of perceive as Kohanim, because in a sense they really have only Hashem, because the world doesn't want to give them what's their due. The Kohen is owed certain sort of tributary gifts from the Jewish people, especially in the times of the temple. Today it's not obligatory. And I was thinking what Rabbi Goldstock is doing as a Levite, out of the congregation, on the streets, in the hallways, in the universities, talking with professionals of every rank and color and intent, is that to help us realize that uniquely capable human beings are like the Kohanim, the priestly branch of the human family experience. And all of us can be like Levites, because the Rambam brings down in his Mishneh Torah that not only the tribe of Levi, but any one of the inhabitants of the world whose spirit generously motivates him or her, and he will understand with his wisdom to set himself aside and stand before God to serve him and minister him and to know God, proceeding justly as God made him or her, removing from his or her neck the yoke of many reckonings which people seek, he is sanctified as Holy of Holies. So this is the type of work that I see Rabbi Goldstock doing, and I'm not up from the tribe of Levi, but I am myself involved in social services, helping people with mental illness. So I'd like to hand the ball off to you, Eliezer, to talk about this idea of uniquely capable people like the Kohanim of the human family experience, and especially within the Jewish people.
Well, probably more accurate would be to say that there are two different ranks of tzaddikim. There's the tzaddik gomer, the complete tzaddik, and then there's the tzaddik she'eno gomer, an incomplete tzaddik. So what could be possibly incomplete about a tzaddik?
Right.
So the way I always like to describe it is that when you say tzaddik gomer, it's a tzaddik v'tovlo. It means it's a tzaddik and everything for him is good. But when you say a tzaddik is incomplete, the expression in the Gemara is tzaddik she'eno gomer, or tzaddik shelaloi, meaning that it's not good for him. It's the opposite of good for that tzaddik.
Uh-huh.
And yet, how can you possibly say that something is bad for a tzaddik? So what something, some attribute or some aspect of the tzaddik is not in a completed manner, and therefore that tzaddik is now coming to still, a tzaddik comes into the world for not for himself, but for everyone else. So rather than say that a person who has a disability or is handicapable comes into the world as a kohen or as a priestly Jew, rather I would say that they come into the world as a tzaddik, a person who comes into the world for others.
Okay.
Now, that having been said, so what is bad about a tzaddik v'ra'loi? Why do we say tzaddik she'eino gomer is tzaddik v'ra'loi? Why do we say that a tzaddik who is not complete, it's not good for him? Well, we say that because the ideal is a tzaddik gomer, a completed tzaddik tevlo, everything is good for him. But when there's something missing, some aspect of the tzaddik that is missing, what is it that's missing? What is it that we're trying to? We're saying that tzaddik has came into the world for us. Didn't come into the world for themselves. It came into the world for everybody else. So what do we say? We're saying that tzaddik, that person, comes into the world to cause others to do good. That's what a tzaddik is here for. So if we say a tzaddik v'tovlo, a tzaddik v'gomer, it's a completed tzaddik, he's doing good. Okay, we understand. That person can come and explain to us how to go about doing something that we're supposed to do. But when a tzaddik comes into the world who cannot express that to us, but has to nonetheless cause us to do something good, we say tzaddik v'ra'loi. Why? Why is that not good for the tzaddik? Because the tzaddik really wants, knows, and understands what it is we're supposed to be doing, but can't direct us to do it. They can only indicate to us what we have to do. So it's very difficult for them. And that's why we say it's a tzaddik she'eino gomer, he's an incomplete tzaddik, because that's a person who comes into the world with a disability. That person's disability is the aspect of his personality, his personhood, that has to come and get and cause us to do that which is good and that which is what we're supposed to do. And it's a motivator. And he has to do it without being able to express to us what it is we need. So Angela has a child who has obviously caused her to do many good things before she was able to even speak or to be able to give direction or to be able to read or before you even understood where she was holding. And each one of us has some aspect of our personality that prevents us from achieving our full and complete potential. That's the part of us that's wrong, that's not good, that we need to work on to correct, to make it tovlo. That we have to make it so that it brings out the good in us. And not only the good in us, but we have to learn from the tzaddik that we need to bring out the good in others as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference between a tzaddik, a complete tzaddik, and an incomplete tzaddik. An incomplete tzaddik is the one who comes into the world, causes us to do good without being able to give the direct instructional aspect of what it is that we need to do, but does it through implication, through innuendo, through nuance. And that's the part, the aspect of the tzaddik v'ra'loi. That's why we don't say that it's a complete tzaddik, it's an incomplete tzaddik. And
okay.
That's why I like using that as an example, more than using, because the lady, the truth of the matter is, it's very interesting that you brought that up. A person who has any form of disability, who is a lady, can wash the hands of a tzaddik, of a kohen, without any preconditions. There's a whole question about a tzaddik, a kohen, and the kohen giving In other words, if a Kohen comes to a community and he has a mum, he has a handicap or some form of a physical characteristic that indicates that that person is disabled, we say there's a halacha that says that that person who comes to the community, not a Kohen Gadol, but a Kohen, a regular Kohen, cannot bless the community for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's a halacha. Can't bless the community, can't do Birkat HaKohanim for 30 days. Why 30 days? Why not say you can't do it forever? Or why even say you can't do it at all? And the answer is very interesting. Rambam brings down that when a person comes into your community and davens in your minyan, when they come in and they have some characteristic or some unusual aspect of them, the physical characteristic, we tend to stare at them. And we're worried that a person who's going to do Birkat HaKohanim, who's going to bless the community, they might look under their talit to see that person's unusual characteristic while they're giving the blessing of the Kohanim. And that's an aspect, that's something we're not allowed to do. We're absolutely forbidden to look at the Kohanim
sure.
when they bless the community. So why do we say they can't do that for 30 days? Because the Rambam says that that's a normal period of time for the community to become accustomed to that person's unusual characteristics, and that after 30 days, everybody just accepts the person as they are and doesn't stare anymore. Isn't that interesting? The Torah recognizes
mm-hmm.
that in 30 days, we'll get over it. So
well, 30
when,
days
when,
it takes to install a habit of not staring.
What?
A habit. It takes 30 days to install a habit of not staring in this case.
Oh, right. It takes 30 days to overcome a bad habit. That's what he's saying, which
mm-hmm.
is the staring. No, I mean, because you can become habitual in your behavior with one or two times. If you have an addictive personality, but to overcome your negative behavior, the Rambam recognizes that in a normal person, it takes 30 days to within 30 days you will overcome that. Doesn't mean that it'll take you a full 30 days. It could be that in 10 days you'll be over it, but in 30
sure.
days for sure. You know, that's the point. And so therefore, the Kohen, when he blesses the community even if he is disabled, but we have to wait 30 days. It's not that the Kohen has to wait 30 days, because the Kohen is perfectly capable of blessing the community. But the community is not ready to receive the brachas of the Kohen because he has this unusual characteristic, whatever that is. Isn't that interesting? But yet the lady... Well, of course, it's Torah, you silly. But the point is that the Levi can wash the hands of the Kohen without any problem, even if he has
wow.
a disability. So that's why I'm able to wash hands all the time. Okay. So So the point is that now Don is in the midst of davening from the Omid in his community, and he has accustomed them to his beautiful tefillot and his kaddishim that he's saying for his father. And it's interesting because when a person starts davening from the Omid, when a person has to lead the prayers three times a day in his community because he has lost a parent, it takes the community a few weeks to get used to that person's davening. And what's interesting is, at the end of the year, everybody becomes attached to that person because they know how that person davens. They know how he responds. They know how he reacts in difficult situations, and they understand his way of reaching and beseeching Hashem through tefillah, through prayer, and the community sort of has a little bit of a letdown because at the end of 11 months, they're no longer leading the prayer service. They're now part of the community again. So, and that's, truthfully, that's when you really become a part of the community, unfortunately, because the entire community now knows all of the nuances of your tefillah, of all of your davening.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas before, you were silent. You were just a silent partner, and you were one of the minion, you know, you were part of the minion. But now, they've heard you, they've seen you, they've observed you, they've participated with you. You're now part of the community. And that's really when that happens. And so the Levim, when they wash the hands of the Kohanim, they do it, really, it's kind of secluded, isn't it?
Yes.
Only the Kohanim and other Levim observe, like I have a minhag that I wash my hands before I wash the Kohanim.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't dry them. I leave them wet.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I learned how to wash the hands of the Levim, of the Kohanim, as a Levite. Now, there are many Levim who don't do that, and there are many Kohanim who don't know about it. But that's my custom. That's my minhag. So when other Kohanim and Levim see me wash their hands, especially on Yom Kippur, they see that I wash my hands first, and then I fill the kfart and wash their hands. I wash my hands alternatively, one after the other, one, you know, right, left, right, left, right, left. And I wash the Kohanim three times on the right and three times on the left. So that's the way I learned. That was my custom. That's the way it was handed down in our family. So there you have it. What's the source of it? I don't have a source. It was done door to door. And always the way I've done it. So most people don't see that, right? I just told everybody about it, but it doesn't mean that that you can take it on, because what's the source of it? You don't have a source. My source comes from you know, my father, from my family, and that's why I do it. You know, other people have to have, you know, have to. But the point is that the relationship between the Levi and the Kohen is the precursor to going to the Beit HaMikdash. When the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt, we will be doing the, once again, reinstituting the korban, the offerings, and the tefillos in the Beit HaMikdash and the Kohanim, and the Levium will be serving the Kohanim and helping them, setting up the sacrifices and all of the other things that will be attendant aspects of making the Beit HaMikdash a reality once again in the time of Mashiach.
Amen. Amen. Andrew, I'd like to ask you a question. Before your daughter, Adina, if I recall correctly, made her positive...
Athena.
Yes, Adina.
No, Adina.
Quite
all
right, though.
Adina.
No, Athena.
Oh, Athena. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I misunderstood then. Okay, I got to get my ears cleaned.
No, that is quite all right. Good question.
And I'm the one going for the ear test tomorrow. Isn't that something?
Yeah. what'd you say? No, anyway. Excuse me one second. Excuse my coughing. I'm getting over bronchitis. When you saw Athena developing, yes, you had the empowerment of the prophetical teaching from Hosea. Did you notice something? Was it a twinkling in her eye? Was it some sort of yearning you perceived within her that you felt like, well, she's ready to move on and not just be stuck in her diagnosis?
Well, what happened with my child is book was one of her first words. She loved books. She was very inquisitive. And at the age of 8 months, She had had pneumonia previously.
Wow.
And I was not able to get her the vaccines because she was ill and her immune system was compromised. So the good mother I was, I wanted to get her caught up, and I made the appointment for February 2004. And she received 4 shots containing 9 vaccines. Within an hour to 2 hours, she's still screaming and crying, and I'm calling the doctor's office because this is not normal. And she begins to have a series of seizures. I change her diaper. There's blood in her diaper. I'm making this really quick for you.
Right.
I rush her to the hospital because I didn't know what this was. I get emotional. Mm. And I rush her to the emergency room, and I cut in line because I didn't know what was going on with my infant. Again, she's 8 months old. And it's a cold February day. And they rush her into triage, and the next thing I know, she's on this bed, and there's all these nurses and 2 doctors around her, and she's vomiting, and you know, her eyes are rolling back, and I'm about to lose my daughter. And I stand there, my back's against the wall, literally against the wall. And I said, I'm so glad I got her vaccinated. What would have happened if I hadn't done that? And for the next 2 to 3 nights, we were in a special room, and I didn't know if she would survive. You know, autism was the furthest thing from my mind.
Right.
And for my child, who apparently had some genetic markers with her mitochondria, she should never have had those vaccines because of her mitochondria. And she survived.
What was it about the vaccines you think that caused that?
The thimerosal. In America, I don't know what it's like in Israel, the multi-dose vaccines, such as the DTaP, has the full dose of thimerosal. And that can be deadly for an infant, especially if they are genetically disposed to where they can't filter out the thimerosal. Why is thimerosal so key? It's 49.6% ethyl mercury. If you remember correctly, people would talk about the mercury in the vaccines. Well, they took it out of some of the single-dose vaccines, though they filtered it out. The mercury is still in some of the single-dose vaccines. But in the multi-dose vaccines, it's still in there full force. There's now what they call a CDC whistleblower. A man who's done the research on some of the CDC vaccine studies, and he's co-wrote some of the studies. He's waiting to be compelled before the Congress of the United States of America to speak. He's being represented by the same tobacco whistleblower law firm based in Chicago, the same law firm. So hopefully the truth will come out. So that is what happened to my child. My child was harmed by a vaccine reaction that was severe enough to hospitalize her.
Well, I really hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, although we have to end the program. And hopefully we can continue this conversation next week. Eliezer, being that you came on late, I'll just let you conclude. How can people assist you, assist other handicapped human beings to actualize their full potential?
Well, first thing you can do is remind everybody that they should be careful about the medications that they give their children.
Yes.
And ask questions, because that's what Angela's trying to get us to say here. Second thing is, we have to tell Shoshana, hey, get back to your old 100% self and stop being a 98% or here, okay?
Ha, and, ha, 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 ha.
And
I don't stutter when I laugh.
That's exactly what laughter is.
Mm-hmm.
A giant stutter. Anyhow, so and I want to say hi to Yoni, give him a big shout out. Also, I want to give a big shout out to our good buddy Ross, my buddy Solly. I got to give a big shout out to him. I got to give a big shout out to all of our friends, and I have a big buddy in California. I got to give a big shout out to Joel, to Yoni, the other Yoni, Ezra, all my good friends. And I want to say, first of all, anybody who wants to get in touch with us and wants to help out with our project, which we are now in the middle. We finally got our meeting next week with the mayor's office, and it looks like the financing is going to come through. So we've got everything moving along. I want to give a and I want to say hi to Pinchas Eliyahu, Sidorovsky, our CEO, who's up in Tzfat learning like a good boy, a good boychikal, my brother from Rygrod. And I want to say, anybody who's interested in helping us out, here's how you can do it. Go to www.hearttoheartajsbc. It stands for Associated Jerusalem Society for Distinguished Children, hearttoheartajsdc.org, www.hearttoheartajsdc.org, or you can call us at 052-869-9972 in Jerusalem, or you can call us in America. You can reach us through Don Zusha Goodman at
347-613-4615. That's 347-613-4615. And with that being said, I want to thank all of our participants today. Angela from Oklahoma, which was very nice to hear a call from halfway from the other half of America. And of course, we're live from Jerusalem.
Right in the middle.
Right in the middle, yeah, right in the middle. You're dead on center. And, of course, from Shoshana, great to hear her bubbly, positive effusions out into the program today. And with that being said, listeners, we're going to end off today with a little a cappella. The musical instrument you'll be hearing now are the blessed voices of a young group of men from Yeshiva University called the Maccabees. And they'll be talking about one day, which is the one day we are hoping for, is a one day of Ahava Chad, one love, Gorla Chad, one destiny, Kolonov, all of us, B'dachinam, Dachi Shalom, in a peaceful and pleasant way. L'hamshik Rez Hashem Yisprek, to be continued with the blessings of the Most High. And just to remind you, you've got to be good. I've got to be good. Everyone's got to be good. Because
the Amen.
And the nature of the good to do good, which is from the Creator, just as Rabbi Goldsack tapping into the nature of the good to do good, giving thanks to the Creator for giving him that drink that he drank during the program to lubricate his throat. And we're going to end off with reminding everyone, if you're in the world, you've got to be good because you've been outsourced from the source of all goodness. And let now us celebrate one day. May that one day be right now. Take care, everyone.
Amen.